Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hello, ladies.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. So as always, I am joined by my uber fabulous co-host, Kate Sitars.
Hello, hello. Uber, yes. Hello.
Uber, hello. And today, Kate and I have the pleasure of being joined by the third part of our triangle of power in our business, the rest of our executive team in the Nikki K Media business, our operations manager, Caitlin Spinney. Hey, Caitlin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hello. Oh, well, thank you for being on the call. The reason for bringing Caitlin on the call is that Caitlin is just geniusy when it comes to productivity, when it comes to systems, when it comes to getting things in order, when it comes to getting things done. She is the secret sauce behind all of the big projects. If you ever go, wow, that was a pretty big project, or actually probably even if you go, oh, well, that was a smooth launch of something, or oh, that was a very smooth event, it's because of Caitlin. Kate and I tend to be the more, I don't want to say creative because we're all creative, but we're the like, oh, you have an idea. And Caitlin is the one who wrangles it all and makes it all work. And thank goodness she does. And thank goodness she enjoys doing it, because the three
we
of
don't.
Us.
Yes, we don't.
I think what's cool about it is that I finally get to be somewhere and work somewhere with people that actually appreciate my level of like, ooh, this is fun. And like the thing that's really fun for me isn't fun for a lot of people. And so I think it's really cool to take all these creative ideas that I wouldn't have had and then get to put like creative problem solving together with it. I think for a long time I would say, oh, I'm not creative. Like, you know, everybody else in where we work is creative. I work with only creatives. But I think I'm starting to realize like I'm creative just in problem solving. I'm not creative with words or design or editing, that kind of thing. But I'm creative when it comes to getting from here to there and making sure we get all the way there and figuring out all the steps in between. And all of the problems that arise in the middle. So I think that I'm starting to learn like, yeah, I'm creative too, just in a very different way.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Our CCA students know this already, probably, but you can go back to I believe it was 2021 Summer Freelance Summit, and Caitlin actually did a session. So hit the special events section of your dashboard, course dashboard, and you can find even more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and our CCA Next Level students get access to you as well within that program on coaching mm-hmm. calls and the like. But we wanted to get you on the podcast episode to bring a little of your genius
to the full audience, to the full CCA, to all CCA students, and of course, all of our followers everywhere as well. I know there are a lot of topics that we want to go through, and I know that you have made notes because of course you made notes, right? That is how you operate. I think that there are a couple of realizations that you have taught me that maybe we can start with, and we'll see how that leads into notes and that kind of thing. But I think that one of the takeaways that I come back to again and again is that you have said to me, I've said to all of us, if something is on your to-do list for more than 2 days, it's too big of a project. Does that sound like a good starting off point?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a great place to start. I think that when it comes to being a freelancer and really managing what you're doing, you have to really manage your time. And so I come back to this principle of if you didn't do this task and you push it to tomorrow and then you push it to, it's never going to get done because you're not respecting the task at that point. You're not respecting your to-do list. And it just gets easier to push off and push off and push off. And often I find that, you know, for myself and on the team, the reason that we're doing that is because there's something about the task that is overwhelming. And so my first step is to delete it because it no longer serves you and you haven't respected. It sounds stupid to say it that way, but I can't think of a different way of phrasing it. You aren't respecting that task. So you need to just get rid of it and start over. So I like to break tasks down into small, manageable, bite-sized chunks. Like if you see a cake and you want to eat the whole cake, because that's what I like to do, you don't eat the whole cake. You take a bite at a time. And so we want to make your task the same thing. So if you're writing copy for a homepage, for example, the task is not write the homepage. That's not how you want to break that down. So I break that down into, do I need to do research? Do I need to look at competitor sites? What does that look like? And then how much copy do I need to write? So is it going to be just this section up here? How many sections are there? Maybe is the way I would divide it up. But I just try to make my individual tasks a small bit. I think 25 minutes for a task is a reasonable amount. Most of us can focus for that long at a time, and it's less overwhelming. Plus, once you get going on one, that first checkbox then is just a snowball, this avalanche of just get stuff done. And so it really empowers you and keeps you moving forward. And so I think that's kind of why I always say that to myself and to others is like, I noticed that you moved that task. So what's up? Like, do you know why it's overwhelming to you? And maybe you don't. And that's okay too. We've all been there. And that's just step one, delete it. Step two, break it down smaller. And if that didn't work, break it down smaller than that. Mm-hmm. And you can do it. And I think that the smaller you make those tasks, then as you get more confident, then those tasks aren't quite so teeny tiny, and then maybe they're more medium-sized tasks. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. And obviously on our team, we have the benefit of working with you to help us do this. But obviously a big part of the reason that we've brought you on the podcast today is so that people can learn how to do this themselves and create an inner Caitlin to help them break tasks down and implement the things that we're going to be talking about today. And I will agree, there are definitely tasks that I will push a couple of days and I don't even realize I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I break it down, I actually go, oh, actually that task was really, really, that was not a big deal. When I actually broke it into the individual things and could go through the individual tasks, I got it done in no time, but I had been pushing it off day over day. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe that's, and I feel like I'm kind of springing this question on you, but I truly don't know that sometimes I even realize I'm pushing them off day to day. Do you have any ideas for how people can get that recognition that they're pushing things off?
Yeah. So every task should have a due date, hard stop. So if you don't, what gets scheduled gets done, right? That's what we always say. What gets scheduled gets done. So every task should have a due date. Anything that you just leave willy-nilly at the bottom, never going to get to that. So if it has a due date and it's due today, and then you end up moving it to tomorrow, that action right there tells you that you have moved it. And it does happen occasionally where something comes up and you weren't expecting it and you have to move it one. That's why I say if you move it twice. So you get one day where you can move it. And if I move something, I do that first the next day. So that's that like eat the frog principle that people talk about, like do the hardest thing first. So I tend to, if I have to move it from today to tomorrow, I'm going to do that thing first. There is no way it's getting moved to the next day at that point because I started with that task. So that's kind of how I handle that. Let's see if I can not keep moving it down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then I think another thing that I certainly am guilty of, and probably a lot of people are, is creating to-do lists that are just like, so optimistic is a nice way to put it. Maybe aggressive is another way to look at it. But just you put so much stuff on your to-do list that objectively, there's no way you could actually get that done in a day. Yeah. Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, I think there's a balance on a to-do list. Because if you put too few things, you think you have the whole day and you're not going to ever get started. And the day will end and you will have completed little to nothing of that little baby list that you have. So as a freelancer or, you know, just even copywriter in general, if you have too much on your plate, then at some point in the day, you will get to the point where you realize that you will not accomplish it and you will likely shut down and just stop. So then you definitely don't accomplish it. So by breaking the tasks down into small chunks and pick a number in your head that makes sense. So for me, 15 to 25 minutes per task is kind of my goal. That means that when I look at my list, I have an idea of about how many tasks I can actually accomplish in a day, taking into consideration how many meetings I have. Because I think often we forget that we have meetings. And you know, for us, like we choose to be meeting heavy on Monday. And then we're meeting light throughout the rest of the week. So we kind of just get the bulk of it out of the way on Monday. And then we do a little bit in the afternoons the rest of the week. So that means on Monday, I know that I can see I have a gap of 2 or 3 hours where I can actually get some work done. I can kind of guesstimate about how many tasks I'm going to be able to get done. And there, I think a lot of people can spend significant amount of time managing your to-do list. That's not your job. Your job is to write copy and to make your clients happy. So you don't want to spend a lot of time managing your to-do list necessarily, but you know, 5 minutes at the beginning of your day to just like, is this accomplishable? I like to look at my whole week on Mondays and just really see, okay, did I overwhelm myself on Wednesdays? My meetings really shouldn't be moving too much when Monday starts. Like that week is pretty much set. And then I like to try to leave a little bit of room for stuff to come up because inevitably a website will go down, knock on wood, or something will happen and I will need to jump in on something I didn't account for the time on, I didn't see coming. And so just trying to balance out the available time you have with the amount of tasks that you've assigned on that day. And honestly, I promise you can do this in 10 or 15 minutes on a Monday. And then each day, give yourself 5 minutes with your cup of coffee in the morning or whatever your beverage of choice is. And just see, like, is this actually, do I feel good about this? And what do I need to get done in order to, like, you know, I like to do that too in the morning to see, like, what order maybe I need to do things in. Because occasionally this domino has to drop in order for this domino to drop, or I'm wasting time and I'm inefficient. I also like to take that 5 minutes and look and see what can I batch? Meaning, does if it's client work, for example, I maybe would batch client work. Like I'm going to do all of ABC company stuff together, and then I'm going to do XYZ company stuff together. If you are working within just one company, even, I think batching is really helpful because you can take all of the similar tasks and do them together. That helps with the task switching and you're not losing quite so much time when you're moving between tasks as your brain is kind of in the same space. Mm-hmm. So that 5 minute checkup in the morning, I find to be personally very helpful. And I kind of know what the pace of my day needs to be. So when I stop for lunch, which I work very hard to actually like physically leave my desk at lunch and eat something and maybe walk around the block. When I'm done at lunch in that morning period, I'm kind of deciding what needs to happen in order for me to feel like I'm going to hit my goal for the day. And it just is like a nice check-in point.
Yes, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And you started to talk a little bit about how you order the things on your task list. Batching, if there's one thing that affects another one, are there any other techniques that you use to kind of decide as you're looking at your day, what needs to go first and what should come later?
Yeah, I think the big one that I like to use is I think about when I have the most energy throughout the day. So I am a morning person. I get up at 4 or 5 every morning and I wake up and I just start doing stuff. That is not how everyone operates. I know because I live with someone who does not operate like that. So everybody's different and everyone has different power hours or whatever term you want to use for these hours when you just feel like I can accomplish anything. And those tasks, like the big tasks and the things that we say this a lot, move the needle the most or will make the biggest impact, I like to try to do those in that time. So it's really easy to start your day with like, I'm going to clear my email inbox. Does that make sense? I don't know. You tell me. It's up to you. It's like what works best for you in your system. And so for me, I find that if I can do 2 or 3 quick tasks, then I'm like in this mode of like, get stuff done. And so then it's a little bit easier for me to do those things that maybe are a little more brain intensive or take some extra creativity or problem solving. And so for me, that's kind of how I like to do it. And I don't have a lot of energy around 2. So I like to schedule my meetings at 2 in the afternoon. I'm very fortunate because the majority of our team is in the same boat. And so we have kind of all agreed that we do our meetings at 2 and 3 in the afternoon. That works great. But that is also not the time for me to be doing creative problem solving and really like stuff that's hard, you know, stuff that is like things I'm capable of doing, but would be much harder at 2 in the afternoon. So I really like to think those things through in that 5 minutes as well. Like, what's the thing that's the most important for me to accomplish today? What's the thing on this list that looks the most challenging today? And maybe those are the things I'm trying to do in the morning. But again, everyone's different. Maybe 2 in the afternoon is good for you. And if it is, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah. Well, and it, to that point, everyone is a little bit different. So I would imagine that there's also kind of a little bit of testing involved. Like I know Sometimes I'd be like, oh yeah, I think the best way to start my day is to be doing all the easy stuff first. And then I can ease. And I was absolutely lying to myself. It just made me feel good to like check 5 or 6 things off the list. And then I would get to mid morning and have to do the hard stuff and be like, oh, maybe I need a break now. Mm-hmm. And then it would push it. It was very inefficient. So I would imagine that kind of evaluating yourself and what you're getting done is probably an important part of the process.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of self-reflection on what works for you. And just because it works for you doesn't mean it'll work for somebody else. And just because it worked for somebody else, same thing. Like, I think it's trying a lot of different things. And that's something that I've really enjoyed as I've kind of like honed in on my personal productivity levels and like how to get more accomplished in a day. Has been like, oh, I'm going to try the eat the frog technique, whatever that might be, and just try it for a day or two and see what works for you. And I think that that's really important is like, this is customizable to you. You need to figure out what works for your schedule, for your brain, for the type of work that you're doing. I think those are all things to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it changes too.
Yes. Go for it, Kate, because that's just what I was going to say.
I think that, you know, sometimes what works for a year, a month, a few weeks, just depending on the situation, mm-hmm. summer versus winter for me is a big one. That's the seasonal and when the sun sets and when it's, or if it's cloudy, frankly, cloudy days require a different type of routine for me. I need more coffee and different outfits that just get me going.
I love that. I think it's important to know what that is. Like, I know for me in different jobs I've had, my like way that I would get started, the way that I would use those power hours, very different, you know, and there's been other roles when my email box needed to be done in my power hours, because I had to clear 100 to 200 emails and then start my day. So that took all of my brain power was to get that done. And so it just depends on where you're at in your career. It depends on what you're doing. To Kate's point, an additional thing to think about is, you know, I find that if I'm struggling with working today in my office, which doesn't happen to me very often, maybe once every other week or so, I will physically get up and go to the coffee shop. Like just trying to think about and being aware that like, for some reason today, this isn't working. So I'm going to try something different. I have found that the coffee shop has been perfect for me because I don't want to work from there. I don't want to be there. I want to be home. I want to be with my dogs in my comfy, like ergonomic chair and my stand. Like I want to be here. And instead it's like a punishment for me. Like if I'm like, oh, I am not doing, like I am not hitting where I thought I should be today, or I'm just not feeling it, I'm having a hard time, I go to the coffee shop where there are people and just people, a lot of people. It's very people-y out there. And I maybe don't want to sit there and do those things. And so I will go literally with a post-it note. And I can't come home and come back to where I want to work until the post-it note is accomplished. And I get that stuff done so fast. I highly recommend having something like that, whether it's an outfit change to Kate's point or some people feel
shoes.
Like
shoes.
Yes. I was going to say shoes. Some people feel like they need shoes.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, like, and all of this sounds silly, and that's okay because it is silly, but that's human behavior. It's just, you have to figure out what's going to work for you. And so be willing to try the things that are silly or weird, and gets outside of your comfort zone to really like see what maybe works for you when you're having a down day or when it's something is really hard for you and you just can't get started. Like you just have to remember that once you can get the train moving, you have momentum. So it's just that initial push. Like what does it take for you to get that initial push? And these are all some good suggestions, I think, to kind of get started. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, Nikki podcasted in a very lovely pair of high heels, and you were on that podcast. That was,
yes.
It just changes your vibe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
No one could see that, but you know.
But I could.
You knew. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, we say, well, try these different things and maybe it seems silly that, but especially if you're freelance, you can do that. So, you know, you have built a career where you have some flexibility, and even maybe if you have maybe if you work full time and you freelance in the evenings or weekends, whatever, you still have that mm-hmm. flexibility. So you might as well take advantage of it. You know, just because you are working doesn't mean that you have to be sitting at a desk, looking at your computer. You might have to look at your computer if you have to write copy at that moment, but it doesn't mean that you have to be sitting at a desk in a desk chair. It could be, maybe it's working from a different room in your house. Maybe it's mm-hmm. working from a different location. Maybe it's working from a different country. That might be a little hard to change day to day, but if you can, go for
challenge
it.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Go to Scotland tomorrow.
Meet you there. But it's important to remember that we have that flexibility. I think so many of us are so used to, and I will say this, even though I have clearly, we have been in this, had this company for a while, and I was freelance. I've been freelance for a very, very long time, but even still, I will still default to often, well, at 9 o'clock, I have to sit mm-hmm. down to my computer at my desk. And that's mm-hmm. not necessarily what my body or my mind wants to do. And giving myself the time to kind of listen to it and go, all right, what do I actually, maybe do I need a different surrounding? And sometimes it can be just working downstairs in the living room. Sometimes mm-hmm. it can be going to a coffee shop, which I do not mind, or just going somewhere else. Kate has created a bingo chart of hotel lobbies that she's going to work from in Boston this summer, which I'm very excited to see you complete, and probably meet you down there at some of those lobbies. But my point is that we have the flexibility, so take advantage of it. Try different stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I think there's definitely something to that. I know, like you're mentioning, like the time that you sit at your desk and whatnot. For me, I have to have like a hard time that I sit down at my desk. So I know, like I'm going to be in my chair at 8:00. And that's my goal. And then I at least like, I try to start from here and do my 5 minutes, see how things are feeling. But it's, I guess all this is to say it's normal to have these moments or these days when you just can't get the train even going, that can't get that momentum going. And whether you're freelancing or you work full time in an office, that's normal. So just trying to figure out what works for you to get that momentum back, I think, is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know our team uses Asana for managing tasks, and they have a free version, but I'm curious for you to just share with listeners kind of some ideas around ways to do this and actually not carry your to-do list in your head. That should go without saying, but if you're doing that.
Yeah. So I am really passionate about not carrying your to-do list in your brain, because your brain is not designed to be a storage filing cabinet system. It's designed to do creative stuff, right? So the more that you're like, I'm going to remember that. The less room there is for creativity, people. So like, let's not do that. So yes, I'm all about a good system for those things. I know, like for me, I still do some freelance stuff on the side. I'm able to manage all of my stuff in Google Tasks, which is a part of Google Calendar. It's free. I'm in my Google Calendar all day, every day, because that's who I am as a human. And the Google Tasks are right there on the side. And that works perfect for me. That's great. Other people maybe will be doing this full time and maybe have more tasks on their plate than what I have in a given day. So something like Asana or Monday.com is great. I think that often when we go to talk about software, I get kind of like, ugh, because people spend too much time on it and too much money on it. And then they think, oh, well, I got it all set up, but now this one's shiny and pretty and I'm going to move over here. Wrong on all three accounts. Like, do not do that. Again, your job is to write copy, not to spend time in a project management system or shopping around for a different one. So set a timer and do not exceed the timer to pick a system that will grow with you as you grow and be done with it and just be married to that system. I know when I first started, you know, with this team, we had Asana, it was in place. And one of my key things was, I'm not going to come in and just change software. Like, if people are even an iota familiar with this one, this is what we're going with. So is this the best system? Honestly, I don't know, but it's what we had. And if we make it work, it works perfectly for us. So I have never once spent any time shopping for a different system, because it's a waste of my time. And so we use Asana. I think all of us really like it. We are on a very much a paid version at this point, because our team has gotten bigger and whatnot. But as a freelancer, you could very much use the free version and you would never likely need to even upgrade. But the thing I like about Asana is that I can set an even Google Tasks. Both of these do this. I like the recurring reminders. So like, the same stuff happens daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annually, right? So whether that is remembering to invoice people, whether that's taxes, whether that's sending pitches on a regular basis, remembering to check all of your clients' email boxes, because I know that lots of clients want you to log into their system, and it's very easy to forget.
The worst.
Yes, the worst. Kate and I definitely forget that. So it's having these recurring reminders to do all of the things. Update your portfolio. I love that.
One.
Yeah, to check that your website form is working. I think that's an important one. Once a month. I know it sounds kind of silly, but once a month, just test.
Say it on every coaching call, and I'm sure people are. So I'm glad to hear you say it. I did not pay her to say this.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
We did not consult beforehand.
We did not. I think that things like that are really important, and you'll find other things along the way when you're like, oh, well, this came up, or this thing happened, and it was preventable if I had just known to check this once a month or once a quarter, whatever that might be. And these are quick tasks, easy to do. You set them recurring to be whatever you need that to look like. But you know, if you're doing pitches, you could have a recurring task where every Monday you're going to research for 30 minutes on pitches. And then on Tuesday, you're going to send a pitch, and on Wednesday, you're going to send a pitch, and on Thursday. And you could have those things in place. And then there is no, I forgot, it fell off my radar, because it's there, and you're going to respect your to-do list, and you're going to do the thing that's on your to-do list on the day that it's there. So then you just continue to make it so you're growing your business. You're growing what you're working on. I think no matter what system you pick, the key is it needs to be digital. I know that often I hear folks are like, oh, I like paper. I do too. Like, let me tell you, I got Post-its on my desk. Like, I get it. But my phone is always with me. And my computer is where I do my work. So if I'm able to, at any point, add something to that list, check that list, refer to that list, awesome. paper can be spilled on. I have thrown away a to-do list on accident. Like, you're asking for a mess. If you are a paper person, like myself, like Kate, still use the digital. Sometimes I will write down the order I want to do it on a post-it just so I can physically cross it out. That's fine too. You get to cross it out twice if you do that. Yeah. Paper and digital. It's great. So definitely everything needs to live in a digital place. And I think that's kind of a key to that piece.
So. To that point, sometimes if you're scribbling notes because you want to handwrite notes, I have a task every Friday to process any of that and get it into the digital system. So yeah, to Caitlin's point, I love it. It can go in a circle, basically. It can go from digital to paper and paper back to digital, but it needs to be,
on the
computer.
As you're planning out your day, planning out your week, it's so much easier to move things around we always say, do not purchase software until you are sure it is going to pay for itself and then some. So we're not at all saying like, go invest in, but again, there are free versions. There's so many, we use Asana, there's Monday, there's Trello, there's ClickUp, pick one. But one of the things that I like too is if I need to move things around, I don't have to erase something, put it in, find a space,
and waste time,
cram it in there. Yeah. Exactly. It's just drag and drop. And also too, on Asana, not that, choose what, just pick one. But what I like about Asana too, is I can view things as a list, as this is what I have to get done today. But I also like, and there are actually a couple of different options that I don't really use boards, but I use the calendar as well. So I can see what's coming up on the week. So if I go, I don't know if I feel like doing this today. I don't know if I'm going to have, and I can also look at, in our business is a little bit more complicated because there are dependencies. If I don't do something, it could mess up somebody else's timeline because they're waiting for me to get that done. But, I can dig into that, but I can also look at my own schedule and go, okay, I'm not sure I have the energy to do this today. Ooh, you know what? Tomorrow I should be able to knock off those three tasks pretty easily. So let's just move this over here and then maybe move something else over there. And so I love being able to see not just the list of things that I have to do, but the plan that's there for, I was going to say just for the week, but it's for the next several weeks. So, and then I also have a good idea of what the week coming up is looking like.
And then if you are a freelancer and you are looking in your calendar view, the thing that's really nice is you can see where you have gaps. I think that often I hear from freelancers like, well, how do I know if my plate's full or if I'm gonna, like, how much room do I have to take on new work? If you're using a system like this, then you can look at your calendar and you can look in advance and see how much work you have and where you have holes. So you're actively pitching because you already have a recurring task for that. And you know where you're hoping to put those jobs. You know where you're hoping to fill a gap. I also love that you can mark to do things in advance. I think that I feel like a lot of times I don't see a lot of people do this, but I'd like to see more people do this where I will mark it a specific color in Asana or even in my Google tasks. I have a little asterisk that I'll put at the front, some little symbol to myself that I can do it in advance. So when I get through my list or I have a gap in my day, I am still using my hours productively and I'm just creating a gap later. So then when I can get that client work or something comes in, I have room for it. And so I think that continuing to work ahead is awesome. Sometimes you get to really surprise a client with some things done ahead of time, which is really nice. And other times you're just leaving room for yourself to maybe need a sick day in the future or to have more time to review things. And so you're just kind of creating this additional time and future you will thank current you for working in advance 100% of the time. So I think that that's a nice thing to be able to use that calendar view for, is planning client work and then just seeing what you can be doing in advance as you have openings.
Mm-hmm. I think to your earlier point of picking a system, it's these systems have so many different ways to use them.
Yep.
So like, we use it so much differently than when you first came on board and, because you are not afraid to burn things to the ground, which I think is a one thing maybe to also touch on. We're going to have you back. Obviously we could keep talking forever. But you're not afraid to burn things to the ground if they're not working or they're not serving and that sort of thing. Obviously that wasn't the case with project management. Set your timer. Like Caitlin said, set it for like half an hour maybe an hour max, like not 5 hours. Pick your system. So many different ways to use it. But do you mind speaking to when to burn things to the ground? When something that's maybe on your to-do list that just shouldn't be, and it should go to a parking lot?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things that we get excited about in the moment. We see someone else doing something, or we have this idea for our business, or we have this idea to do something. And then what? You know, it just ends up in this weird space. And so I like to think about do, delegate, delete. Those are kind of the three that I come back to. And when I say delete, I normally just say burn it to the ground. So like put it in a trash can and light it on fire. So if you are able to do something and you have the time and the bandwidth and it's scheduled for today, you do it. Hard stop, that's it. You just get it done. Some of you may be in a position where you're able to have a VA or somebody help you with things, and maybe you're able to do some delegating. Awesome. I know that that's not something I've ever had in my freelance practice, but I know some people can get to that point. And those are tasks that you yourself do not have to do. So someone else could send your invoice. Somebody else could reply to that email. It's something that doesn't require your face, your brain, your skill set can be delegated. And if it's not one of those two things where it's urgent or important, often I will suggest that we burn it to the ground. And I think that those are kind of the two criteria that I use. Like, is it urgent? As in, is it on fire? Things need to happen right now. Apparently I like fire because I like to burn things down and say things are on fire. Is it urgent and it needs to get done right now? Is it important? Like, will it drive revenue? Will it make a difference? And when you think something is important, take a step back and just try to think about why you think it's important. Because I think sometimes we can get hung up on, like, I'm gonna do this big social media campaign. Why is that important? What are you gonna get out of that? And often when it comes to freelance work, if it doesn't drive revenue dollars to you, in my opinion, it's not important. if it's not successfully completing client work and it's not directly attributing to revenue for you, I don't know that it's necessarily a key thing for you to be working on. It's very easy to get excited about redoing your website and having this big social media presence and like writing blogs for other people or whatever that might be. If you can't prove it's going to drive revenue, does it make sense? And so I think it can be easy to get excited about an idea and to get really far down a path. And my two cents on this is it is never too late to burn something to the ground. It could be the day before you were going to turn the light switch on and like, ta-da, look what I did. And it could be all done and you can still burn it to the ground. Is it painful? Yes. Can you still do it? Yes. Should you still do it? Think about it. Like, I think that it's definitely something to keep in mind. I think we often get married to an idea. We get married to the progress. We have the sunk cost fallacy of, well, I've come this far. No, like I think times change. You know, we've done this in this business where we are so excited about an idea and we get 60% down the path and we're like, this no longer serves us. You know, like this was a good idea and it is still a good idea. Will we maybe come back to this at some point? Yes. And at that point, we just put it in what we call a parking lot. And it's just a list of ideas of things that, like, if we had infinite amount of time, infinite amount of money, we would do some of these things. You know, if we had a ton of people on the team, we would maybe hit some of these things on a list. And we keep track, like truly detailed notes of like what the idea was. If the inspiration came from something, we're including the link. If we wrote any copy for it, we're keeping that in the task. Like, we have all of these things grouped. Can we just have an Asana project board that just says parking lot? And it's every idea that we've ever had that we've either paused or even haven't started yet that we don't see the value in doing it right now because it's not urgent and it's not important today. It doesn't mean it won't be urgent or important in the future. It's just not urgent or important right now.
Yeah. For me, psychologically, it's important to have that parking lot because it's like, I had this idea, but we're not going to work on it. I need to know that it doesn't go off into the ether, right? That it's not something that just gets forgotten. And when we put it in the parking lot, it's like, no, it's there. It's parked there. That car idea is sitting right there. It's a very safe parking lot. And it,
lots of attendance.
Lots of attendance. If you want to go back to it at some point, you can even like peer through the fences. Ah, yes, I see that that's still there.
You can even put really more things in it. You know, if you have more thoughts for the car, you want to remember the show Pimp My Ride, you've got more ideas for how to improve that car that's sitting there. Great. You can just tuck those ideas in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think it takes a lot of pressure off just knowing that like the idea was heard. It's been validated that it is out there and we have it. And, you know, I just have a quarterly reminder to go through the parking lot and just evaluate, like, are any of these urgent or important now? And we just continue to go through, and truly some of them come out of the parking lot. It's not like they go there and die. Like we take them out and, you know, come up with some cool ideas, or we take part of this idea and we turn it into something else. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a nice thing to have for sure.
It is. It is.
Sometimes the Mercedes turns into a minivan, and that's okay.
Oh, I love this metaphor.
As long as it's serving you in this moment. Yes.
Exactly. Sometimes you need a minivan.
Mm-hmm. But, and sometimes you need that time, time to think through and just see where your business is going. Yeah. You know, oh, I really wanted
to let go.
Yes. Well, exactly. Oh, I really want to create this opt-in and it's going to do this and it's for this audience. And you go, all right, and now's not the time. Parking lot. You may come back 3 or 4 months later and look at it and go, you know what? Actually, that's not the direction that my business has gone. So I can let that idea go. So it's, yeah, sometimes
let
you end
it
up.
Go. Let it go. Sorry.
I think that's definitely, you should sing the song while you are letting it go. I think that's great.
Exactly.
Or you can do burn it down, burn it down. That's your version, Caitlin.
That is my version. Yeah. My version's a little more aggressive. I do think that sometimes as you learn and grow and as your skills improve, those ideas, sometimes this is a good thing. You look back on your ideas and you're like, wow, that's like a really simple idea. Or I'm so much better than that now. Like I could do it this way. Or that was a really dumb idea. That doesn't actually work. And I know that now because I've learned all these things. And so that's a good time to like take them out of the parking lot and just light them on fire.
Light them on fire.
The very safe parking lot till Caitlin shows up.
Yeah.
Watch out for Caitlin.
I mean, at least she takes them out before she sets them on fire. But yeah, arson.
Anyone else's parking lot. Just
Her own.
Just our parking lot.
Yeah.
Not parking my cars in my parking lot anymore.
Caitlin, this has been chock full of actionable insight. And I think we will have to have you back again, but is there anything that you want to make sure to share with our followers, with our listeners, students, that Kate and I haven't thought to ask you about yet?
Yeah. I think the thing I kind of would leave this off with is just remember why you started doing this. And I say this to my freelance, like to the clients that I have in my freelance, I say this to Nikki and Kate all the time. Why are we doing this? And remember what got you to this point and why it is that you chose to do this. And as you're looking at your list, are those things the reason why you chose to do this? You know, are you adding things, adding clients, projects, whatever, even stuff to your own business that aren't part of that original goal or aren't really what you want it to be? And I think that having that check-in once a week and each morning to just kind of keep in touch with that is really helpful. And it'll help you to not burn out. It'll help you to stay happy in what you're doing for longer. And I think that, you know, just really treating that to-do list with total respect of like, I've promised to myself that I've done, that I will do this today. And remember that if you had promised that to somebody else, you would have actually done it. So treat that promise to yourself like you would treat that promise to a different person or even more. Like I take that really seriously for myself. Like if it's on my to-do list, I promise myself I'm going to do this and I'm definitely going to hold up to that. So just some things to think about. I think it's all customizable and it should all suit why you are choosing to do this.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Caitlin, this was fantastic as always. Thank you. Thank you so much for supporting us, our team, for supporting our CCA Next Level students, and for keeping Kate and I from going off the rails on a daily basis.
I love this team. Honestly, this is just the best. So thank you for having me. It was fun to share some of my ideas on this. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And with that, we will catch you all in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.